You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome, everybody, to the Zandbergen Report. We're so happy to have you here, and I'm so excited. We have a great show lined up today. So first, I wanted to thank you, Paul, our engineer here in the studio.
I feel definitely outclassed. All these well-dressed young ladies here, and I look like an old bum here. But.
Oh, you're definitely the magic behind what makes this happen.
Just so don't pull the curtain so they show who the magician is behind the curtain. Yeah.
Well, this show is to showcase wealth strategies and investment wisdom that is essential for the revolving world. And I'm Letitia Burbaum. I'm the guest host today. So thank you so much for having me here. And I am really excited, and it's an honor for me to introduce Kristen. She is going to tell us a little bit more about her background and her history. And I'm really glad that we can be interviewing her today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you have to give her a last name, too. You can't just say Kristen here.
Yeah, Bean. Beam, right?
Breen. Yes.
Yeah.
So you have to understand, folks, that these girls came running in about 30 seconds before the show, threw their hair, and now they're just like so calm and relaxed. But 30 seconds ago, they're like, what are we doing?
So fun. So that's Orange County hustle bustle. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, she's super talented. We're really excited to have her here. She's had about 15 years in the mortgage industry with experience.
A long time.
Yeah.
Lots of ups and downs.
Yeah, absolutely. She's seen it all. She's had over 1,900 transactions in her history. In the last year alone is over 100 transactions. So we're definitely impressed by the things that you've done.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, this is fun. This is the first radio show I've been on, so this is kind of exciting.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I started off in the business, like you said, about 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and have definitely seen everything there is at this point. Lots of ups and downs, the meltdown of 2008 and how that really tightened up the regulations in our industry and really in some cases made it much more challenging for even the best credit people out there in the market with 700 plus 800 FICO scores to get loans. Yep. So we've had to deal with that and combat those issues as loan officers in our industry and still work with realtors and clients to get their loans done. And sometimes it takes a little creative thought in doing so, but we've been able to maneuver those waters pretty well and been pretty successful at it. So
my hat's off to you because I've seen a lot of people after 08 really, you know, they either made it or they didn't, and so I'm so glad that you're still in the business.
Absolutely,
and really knowledgeable.
Yeah. We focus a lot on the jumbo product, and I have been doing that throughout my career.
Okay.
But that is definitely a niche, I would say, that I focused on and working in Southern California, specifically Orange County and the Newport Beach region. A lot of my clients are self-employed and definitely have more complicated, intricate situations. So it's important to know how to read a tax return and a P&L and a balance sheet and, you know, pull as much income out of those as you possibly can because the guidelines are just so strict now.
Tell me a little bit about a jumbo loan.
Yeah, so there's all types of products. I mean, there's 30-year fixed, ARM products, 5-7-year ARM type things. But, you know, those products are great. I think in the increasing interest rate market, though, a lot of people are coming out and saying, you know, Kristen, I really want that 30-year fixed. I'm scared of what's going to happen. Or even a lot of clients in $1 million, $2 million mortgages are calling me and saying, hey, I'm going to stay in this home another 7 to 10 years. I'm afraid that my arm's adjusting here coming up.
So what does that look like? Define that for
me. Well, you know, a lot of people will say, hey, I'm in the 7-year arm at a 3.5% interest rate.
Okay.
But gosh, in another 2 years, my rate's going to go up potentially as we've been seeing the rates go up. And I'm based off LIBOR, so maybe I really need to look at putting this into a fixed loan because I'm not really ready to move in 2 years or 3 years. So they're looking at that fixed product and converting even into a higher interest rate just to get that fixed loan.
Can I stop you girls for 1 second? You're talking so many acronyms here, you lost me here. So a jumbo, where did jumbo start and define LIBOR and all ARMs and all, just for the handful of us that may not know what all those terms mean.
Sure, yeah. A jumbo mortgage is anything over $679,000 in Orange County. or so.
And that's most of the homes in Orange County.
Yeah, the loan amount.
Okay.
Yes. So it is a lot of homes in Orange County.
And that's defined by what? The Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac or whatever?
It is, yeah. Fannie Mae caps the high balance regions like Orange County, LA, and some other surrounding areas at around 679 loan amount. So if people have over that mortgage balance, they're going to typically be falling into a jumbo product.
And that's outside of the...
traditional loan.
Exactly.
It is.
But they're like, what, private lenders and stuff? And...
No, the big guys are servicing those. I mean, there's Chase, Wells Fargo, B of A, et cetera, that we're selling our loans off to. However, the guidelines are a lot more strict, a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. Debt-to-income ratio thresholds, that means how much somebody can afford based on... the regulations.
And what is that now? What are the new
On jumbo, it's for a prime product, it's 43% of your gross income versus your debt. So that is a lot lower than what Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac would allow.
And that's why you're saying for business owners, it's a great opportunity to look through the balance sheet to really see their P&Ls.
Absolutely.
Where can you capture that?
Two more quick ones that somebody tweeted. So an ARM is just an adjustable rate mortgage. Does anybody even do those anymore with fixed at so low?
Yeah, no, people call me for them, that's for sure. But a lot of them have exit strategies. So somebody might be moving to Southern California and say, you know what? I'm here on a 3-year stint for some type of work type situation. Then I'm not going back to the East Coast, so I don't really have a need for a fixed product.
Right.
But I want to be able to see potential appreciation and home ownership here. So there's those reasons and other exit strategies. Some people really think they're going to pay off half their mortgage in 7 years, and I see that, and it's possible.
And then the last question I had to learn a couple years ago, and you guys have talked about it, is the different ways they calculate interest based on LIBOR, or it used to be some. Give me those two or three. LIBOR means what? And there's two or three other ways that they.
Well, that's the index the loan is based on. Most jumbo product is based on the LIBOR,
which is London something.
Yeah, you know. I'm gonna call Tuesday morning blues after a holiday weekend.
You're gonna call for your help, your support line or something, or is it have to call somebody for your help line? But it is. It's a different index that you, as opposed to what was the one they used to use? They used to use something. I forgot now. What were the other indexes they used to use?
Well, those were there were other ones that were used that were a lot more unstable. Don't make me remember them right now. We're sticking to LIBOR because that's where all the loans are at right now.
And that determines what? How fast your mortgage...
Your rate, yeah. Your rate can go up. But when an ARM adjusts, it can potentially go a max of 5% the first year. So it's important that you have an exit strategy. If you believe rates are going to stay the same, which they're probably not, then you might think it's okay. But otherwise, it can go up 5% the first year.
Well, I didn't mean to cut in, but I just had to get some of those terms defined.
Great.
So everybody, you guys are whipping along here. And people like me are going, I don't even know what those are. So.
No, that's great. I appreciate that, Paul. So along the lines of a business owner, talk to me about, that might be a little more challenging to get maybe a traditional loan because they're the business owner.
Yes.
Maybe they might not be taking all the income. Talk to me a little bit about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So let's say somebody's self-employed and they have an S-Corp.
Okay.
Many times we see owners of businesses not claim as much income necessarily as they're putting into their bank account every month. And, you know, somebody might say they're making $200,000 a year on a tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, they're seeing a lot more of that money go into their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So there are alternative types of products.
So they're taking it out like a draw. So it goes into their bank account, but but at the end of the day, they're not taking it as a traditional
income. Yeah, there's
income.
Losses and other things that people can get created.
Mm-hmm.
It depends how crafty their CPA is.
Yep. Right. Yeah, no, it's true. But at the end of the day, when they're wanting to apply for a loan, they have to make sure that they have a specific numbers.
And there's a couple different ways to think about that. A lot of times I'll get with clients 6 or 12 months before they're looking to purchase a home.
That's really smart.
And that's key. I try to train my realtors and referral partners to contact me in advance so I can consult with somebody and really say, hey, you know what, Mr. Smith, let's get with your CPA and make sure we're claiming enough income on your tax return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a Schedule C or you have an S-Corp, you have K-1s. We need to really look at these things and see what we're claiming. And or some people say, well, Kristen, are you out of your mind? I don't want to claim that much on my tax return to qualify for a home mortgage.
Yeah.
So on the flip side, there's other types of products that have entered the marketplace in the last, I would say year plus.
Can you elaborate what some of those strategies
Absolutely.
Could be?
Absolutely. So there are bank statement programs now.
Okay.
So for somebody that owns 100% of their business, mm-hmm. we could utilize bank deposits in their business account for 12 or 24 months. And then use a percentage of that, create that as their income.
Yep.
If somebody doesn't have a business account, we can use somebody's personal bank account as well. That's okay. also fine. So those are two really unique products out there on the market. There's also an asset depletion program.
Okay.
So if somebody, you know, says, well, I got, you know, $5 million in the bank, but I can't qualify for a mortgage for the life of me.
Yeah.
We could turn that asset into income per se.
Okay. How does that work?
Well, there's a calculation surrounding that about how much they have versus how much income you're given or allocated to. And a lot of times you can combine that potentially with a bank statement program.
Okay.
And there you have enough income to qualify for a loan.
That's a great strategy for
Absolutely.
Business owners.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, you have to get really crafty and creative with that. There's lots of different ways to cut up that tomato. It doesn't have to be the same way every time.
Yeah.
But it does make it available for clients now to be able to qualify for the $2 or $3 million mortgage they might not have been able to if they were just going to be counting on their tax returns.
And yeah, that's it. At the end of the day, people want solutions, and they might
Absolutely.
Not, like you said, not necessarily want everything to go through their W-2 income.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. So we see that very, it's very common now. Very, very common.
Well, we're going to take a break. So thank you so much so far, and then we'll get back to it in just a moment.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Okay, back to our guest with all their acronyms here.
Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate it. Well, welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And wanted to start where we left off. And now I want to kind of ask a little bit about why would someone go to a mortgage banker?
Versus a big bank like B of A
Exactly.
or Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons. So I want to kind of walk through those a little bit.
Perfect.
The first one would be big bank, not as much service.
Like Wells Fargo, Bank of America.
Exactly. A lot of times you're walking into, like, let's use Macy's, for example. You might walk through the front door of Macy's department store and there might be five people sitting on that floor and hardly anybody's going to come up and help you.
Right.
That happens to all of us.
Yep.
However, if you walk into a small boutique in Crystal Cove, you're probably going to get five women to help you pretty quickly.
Nice.
So it's more of a boutique customer service experience when you're working with a mortgage banker.
So that five-star service.
Five-star service, hand-holding, doing things after hours, meeting with clients that those retail guys are probably not going to really spend their time doing. They have so many clients walking in the door on a daily basis that one client's just the same as another. We take it very, very personally. I think all mortgage bankers out there listening to this or tell their clients, you know, we do hold their hand. We will meet with them after work. We will take calls on the weekends. We'll text them at all hours.
You go to the next mile.
Go to the next level. Yeah. That's one of the big reasons. The other one is the banks have a very black and white way of looking at things.
Okay.
That's very difficult in this market. Mm-hmm. The regulations are so strict. And so when you're working with a mortgage banker, they're usually pretty prepared and experienced to really delve into those tax returns, W-2s, income. As I mentioned earlier in the show, there's so many different ways to look at these types of loans now, and it doesn't have to be so black and white. And a big bank isn't going to have a bank statement program or any kind of alternative financing. It's going to be, you fit in our small box. If you don't, thank you very much.
Yeah. And people really want that service that they're accustomed to.
It's about being solution-oriented and not just saying no.
Yep.
We like to say yes.
I love that. I love that. I'm a fan right now. I love it when people can say yes to me.
Absolutely. We want people to get a home loan.
Right. Yeah, they want them to be in their home, their dream home, and reach their goals. I
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with regards to people's service and how their takeaway, really, where do you think that the market is today and really meeting those goals?
Well, I think the market right now, and you know, you talk about service level, there's a lot going out there. There's a lot of noise on the internet. There's a lot of noise when you pick up the newspaper, and a lot of it is very bad misinformation surrounding what's happening in the mortgage industry or what rates even are.
Okay.
You know, there's advertisements I see just like punting through Google and different places and websites that pop up, and you know, it'll have an advertised rate and, you know, in the very small print, it'll say, but there's 2 points attached to this.
Mm.
So you have to really be careful in what you're looking at.
How do you suggest people to do their due diligence then?
They should probably talk to a couple of different people and make sure they're getting a fair shake. And hopefully they're getting a good estimate sent to them. And when they go to lock the rate, they're getting a loan estimate, a locked loan estimate, and they know for sure that's what their fees and their rate is going to be. But I would definitely suggest talking to 2 to 3 people before making a decision.
That's great advice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tip of the day. Talk to at least 2 to 3 people. Make sure you're getting...
Or get a referral. Yeah. You know, referrals are the best kind.
Absolutely.
So if you have your friend that had an amazing experience with, you know, Mrs. Smith up the street at XYZ Mortgage Banker, you know, go talk to Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Make sure you do that. That's probably the best way.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we send out referrals all day long because at the end of the day, we want our clients to have great experiences.
Absolutely.
And if they had a great experience with someone else, absolutely, we want to be able to pass that along to other people.
100%. There's a reason people go back to Amazon, right? It's great customer service.
Yeah.
So you'll find the same usually with a mortgage broker.
Yeah. So what are some of your questions on, like, the Fed's raising their interest rates?
Well, a lot of people think the Fed's raising rates is directly tied to first mortgage rates.
Mm-hmm.
That's somewhat a myth.
Okay.
It is indirectly tied. And where mortgage rates are based off of is similar stocks trade on a daily basis. They go up and down. You know that in your own business.
Yep.
It's the same thing with rates. They go up and down and can fluctuate and change. Pricing can change 2 to 3 times a day on a volatile day.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we've actually had 2 pricing improvements. The bond market's up, I think, 40 basis points right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the price of the bond is how the rate sheets are driven and put out from each investor.
Okay.
Tenure is a great place to look, but really the price of where the bond is at, if it moves 10, 20, 30 basis points, that could equal a price adjustment for the better.
Yeah.
So that's how rates are actually driven and how those bonds are traded. Again, the Fed doesn't drive those prices of the bonds. It's indirectly effective of those rate hikes.
Yeah. So is there, okay, that's perfect. So is there anything specifically that I haven't addressed that you feel like the listeners really should know about right now?
Yes, I think that it's very important if somebody's going to go buy a house and they're preparing to purchase something, let's say this summer, that if they haven't already, they need to get in touch with a mortgage banker or somebody to get their pre-qualification situated. I find one of the biggest pitfalls in buying a home is somebody not being prepared or understanding what the process is, what's entailed, and what they can actually afford.
Yeah.
And not only what they can afford on paper, but what they're comfortable paying.
It's so important. That's key.
Absolutely. It's very key. Unfortunately, realtors, CPAs, you know, we all do our best to suggest the client, but if someone's going to go start looking at homes, they themselves need to place themselves with somebody that is going to tell them the truth about what they can and cannot afford. And yeah. sometimes I'll see people talk to me and, you know, 3-4 months ahead, they have a credit issue, something they never knew was even on their credit.
And they actually had time to there be able to go and
yeah,
fix it.
Yeah, there was a late on this Nordstrom's card. Oh my God, I never knew about that. Now my FICO score is 650, not 750
yeah.
for one weird thing. And a lot of times we can fix that, get it resolved ahead of time, and they're not suffering with a worse rate than they were actually able to obtain.
That's
so
great.
Preparation is key mm-hmm. in going out and purchasing a home. So I suggest as soon as possible, even if you think you're going to buy a home in the next 12 months, you should be talking to somebody now.
Yeah, that's great. And any other tips?
Tips and tricks of the mortgage mm-hmm. industry? Well, from a consumer side of things, be cognizant if you are thinking about buying.
Yeah.
Probably look at buying sooner than later.
Yeah.
Rates have been going up.
Yep.
And I don't see that really stopping. I think they're going to probably land in the mid-5s by next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that can definitely affect somebody's qualification.
And what they can afford.
And what they can afford, absolutely. So I would take a look and see if you can move on a purchase sooner than later to lock in a good fixed rate mortgage.
That's perfect. And so what we ask all of our listeners is, what is one of your final thoughts of the day?
Yeah, final thoughts of the day. Well, watch what's happening with interest rates.
Okay.
Be prepared if you're purchasing a home. If you're looking at refinancing because you have an ARM, probably start talking to somebody again sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
And always, always get at least 2 to 3 opinions from different mortgage companies
mm-hmm.
so that you know you're getting a truthful analysis, or get a referral from a trusted source like a financial advisor, a CPA, your neighbor, your realtor, somebody that knows that person has worked with them before.
I love it. And then your ultimate lesson learned.
Ultimate lesson learned. Well, be prepared.
Mm-hmm. So
in
important.
This industry, there is so much change and
yeah.
so many regulations that have come down the pike. Nothing ever ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
So from what I have to do in my daily activities and even what I have to put customers through as far as documentation is concerned, preparation is key in all aspects of that. So
yeah.
I've learned it from my side and how to teach it to my clients. Just be prepared to provide us more information.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get a loan done nowadays.
So speaking of information, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, they're able to call me at 949-350-7396, or they can email me at my email, which is K like Kristen, B like boy, R, E like Edward, E like Edward, N like Nancy, @franklinlc.com. It's kbreen@franklinlc.com.
And also, you guys can also reach out to us. We're going to have it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn as well. So we're going to be happy to pass on your information to any of our listeners that are listening that would like to get additional information.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being on our show today. Really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
It's so wonderful being here.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
The Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.